In Genesis chapter 12, God had not yet changed Abram's name to Abraham. And so if I say Abraham by mistake this morning, please know that I'm talking about the same person. But Abram, who was going to become Abraham, was a friend of God, the Bible says. He was a father of the Hebrew race. We first read about Abraham earlier in the book of Genesis, where he was living in Ur of the Chaldees, and God came to him and said, Abraham, I want you to leave home. I want you to move to a new place. And I'm sure the conversation went something like this. Well, Abraham said, well, where do you want me to go, God? And God said, well, I'm not going to tell you. I just want you to pack up. I want you to leave your family. Take Sarah, your wife, with you. But I want you to leave the rest of your family. I'll give you the direction that I want you to go in. And when you get to where I want you to be, I'll tell you that you're there. And that's exactly what Abram did. He didn't know where God was leading him, but he heard God's call, and he answered God's call, and God took him to the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan throughout the Old Testament represents the will of God for people. And for Abraham, living in Canaan was God's will for his life. But then something happened. We read about it just in the one verse that we read from Genesis chapter 12. There was a famine in the land. And so because of a drought or because of some other reason, food did not grow. And so, again, it was an agricultural society. They lived off the land. They lived off their animals. And when a famine came, it was hard for not only people to make a living, it was hard for them to survive. And so at that point, when that famine came in the land of Canaan, Abraham made a decision. He decided to leave Canaan and go down to Egypt. Okay? Now, again, as Canaan in the Bible represents the will of God, the land of Egypt represents being outside of the will of God. Okay? So here was Abram. A friend of God, a great man, a man of faith. I mean, he had to be a man of faith to follow God the way that he did when God told him to pack up and leave. Famine comes, and the Bible says that Abram goes down, leaving the will of God, goes down to the land of Egypt, again, which represents being outside of the will of God. Now, let me just tell you, any time you leave the will of God, you go down. Abraham left the will of God. He went down to Egypt. God came to Jonah and said, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach. And Jonah didn't want to. And the Bible says that Jonah went down to Joppa. He went down, away from the will of God, outside the will of God. In the book of Judges, when Samson went down to Timnah and laid his head in the lap of Delilah, he left the will of God and went down and got outside the will of God. And every time we leave the will of God for our life, we go down. Now, I want to tell you this morning, Abraham just didn't wake up one day in Egypt and say, how did I get here? I mean, he just didn't wake up one day in Egypt and say, how did I get here? Abraham decided to leave Canaan. Abram decided to leave Canaan. Abram decided to leave the will of God. Abram decided to go down to Egypt. This morning and tonight, I want to talk to you about your future. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care what station of life you are in. I want to talk to you about your future. I want to talk to you about where you're headed. I want to talk to you about your destiny. I have a two-point message. I'm going to preach one point this morning, and I'm going to preach the second point tonight. So if you want to get the whole message, I mean, you can profit from the first part, but if you want to get the whole message, you need to come back tonight. But here's my point this morning, just one point this morning. Your future is not determined by chance. Your future and my future are not determined by chance. Our future is determined by the choices that we make today. Some people say, well, it was fate that led Abram to Egypt. Famine came. He had to leave. And so it was just by chance and circumstances that he came to Egypt. That is completely wrong. Because you see, my God and Abram's God could have taken care of Abram in the land of Canaan despite the famine. In fact, God might have sent the famine to help Abram's faith to grow. God, if you study the life of Abram or the life of Abraham, God put him through a series of tests. The first one was leaving home. I mean, toward the end of his journey of faith, God told him to take his only son Isaac, who was born to him, as another test of faith. When Abraham was 100 years old, God told Abraham to take Isaac up on a mountain and offer him as a sacrifice. So all throughout Abraham's life, God was testing him. I think this famine was a test of Abram's faith. God who made the earth, God who makes it rain, God who makes crops to grow and trees to grow, could have taken as much care of Abram in the land of Canaan, in the midst of a famine, as he took care of him when he was in Egypt, where everything was growing good. And God was just saying, Abram, are you going to trust me? My will is for you to live in the land of Canaan. That's why I brought you here. And I know things have gotten tough. I know food's not growing. I know there's a time of a famine, but I can take care of you in the land of Canaan. Now, it wasn't fate. It wasn't just an accident. It wasn't a series of circumstances. It was a choice that Abram made. Now, what does your future look like? Again, I know I'm talking to people of different ages, at different station in life. It doesn't matter. What does your future look like? I don't need a crystal ball. You don't need to go to a psychic. Nobody needs to read your palm like any of those things work anyway. I can tell you about your future if you show me the choices that you are making today. You show me the decisions that you are making today, and I can show you what your future looks like. If you're a young person and you say, well, okay, preacher, if that's true, whom am I going to marry? All right, I can tell you who you're going to marry. I can't name the exact person, but you show me who your friends are. You show me who you date. You show me who you spend a large quantity of your time with, and I can tell you the kind of person you're going to marry. Again, I can't tell you their name. I wouldn't profess to do that, but show me the decisions that you make today, and I can tell you the kind of person that you're going to marry. Is your life going to be successful? Again, I don't need to take out a crystal ball. I don't need to read the tea leaves like I could do that, either one of those anyway. Just show me the decisions that you make. Do you get up when the alarm clock goes off? I was talking to Laverne. We were talking about how hard it is to get up on Sunday. She says Sunday's the hardest day for her to get up and get ready. I told her, it is for me too. I mean, when that alarm clock goes off, I'm more tempted on Sunday morning to reach over and press the snooze button. In fact, Patty will tell you this morning I did it 3 times. You say, Pastor, you're the pastor of the church. Don't you? I love coming to church. I just don't want to get up on Sunday morning. But do you get out of bed when the alarm clock goes off? How do you work? I mean, do you work hard? Do you get the job done? Do you stay at the task until you get it done? I can tell you if you're going to have success in the future by you just telling me what kind of decisions you make today. What kind of parent are you going to be? What kind of mom you're going to be? What kind of dad you're going to be? Again, I can tell you that, but you tell me what kind of decisions you make today. How do you balance family? How do you balance family and work? How do you balance family and your hobbies? I mean, do you work all the time and you say, well, I'm not married yet. I don't have. Yeah, you do. You have mom and dad. You have brothers and sisters. How do you balance your life between work and family? How do you balance your hobbies? Are you consumed with some sport or some hobby that takes you away from your family? I can tell you what kind of mom and dad you're going to be right now by the decisions that you make today. Our future is not determined by circumstance. It's not determined by fate. It's determined by the decisions that we make. Look, if I wanted to go leave here today and I wanted to go to Cincinnati, Ohio, I would get there not because of fate. I would get there because of the choices I make of the roads to get on to get to Cincinnati, Ohio. I mean, if you want to get somewhere in your life, then you need to look at the decisions that you are making today. So here was Abram. And he was living in the land of Canaan, which was where God wanted him to live. Now, in the land of Canaan, things had gotten tough. There were some circumstances that had come into Abram's life that made it hard for him to make a living, to make it hard for him to provide for his family. He began to look toward Egypt, okay? And he saw, hey, everything's fine in Egypt. I mean, it's raining in Egypt, and the food is growing in Egypt, and they don't have to, you know, they don't have to worry about where their next meal is coming from. He was in the will of God. He was where God wanted him to be, and God could have taken care of Abram right here. He didn't need to go to Egypt. But he kept looking toward Egypt, and pretty soon he started leaning toward Egypt, and pretty soon he ended up in Egypt. Now again, if you read the words in the bulletin go right along with what I'm talking about. Where you will fall, the direction you will fall is the direction that you are leaning. And here's Abraham living where God wanted him to live, and he took his eyes off the will of God. He began to look to a place that looked a whole lot more convenient, a whole lot easier to live, a place that'd be a whole lot more fun to be than where he was. And he made a decision. He didn't end up there by accident. He didn't end up there by fate. It wasn't circumstances. Abram made a decision, and he said, I don't want to do it God's way. I want to do it my way. And my way in Egypt looks a whole lot easier than God's way in the land of Canaan. You see, that's how most people want to live their lives. I talked a little bit about it in Sunday school. We want to make our own choices. We want to decide for ourselves. We want to live by that, and I know it's an old commercial, but we want to live by that old Burger King commercial that said, have it your way. You get to decide. You want ketchup? You want pickles? You get to decide. Have it your way. And that's the way we want to live. We don't care about God's way. We don't care that God knows what's best for us. We want our way, and we lean toward Egypt. I mean, the Bible says it over and over in Proverbs 14:14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. In Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And again, I'm dating myself, but Frank Sinatra, some of you, Glenda, you remember Frank Sinatra. He used to sing that song. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. And he did. I read that he was buried with a bottle of Jack Daniels in his coffin and a pack of Camel cigarettes. They didn't last very long in hell because he did it his own way. He didn't do it God's way. In Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. God says, if you acknowledge that I'm God, if you acknowledge in every area of your life that I'm God, I will direct your ways. When Abram decided to leave the land of Canaan, leave the will of God, and go to Egypt, he says, I'm not acknowledging that God's God. If I acknowledge that God was God, I'd stay right here. But he says, I'm not going to acknowledge that God's God. And we talked about it in Sunday school. That's why people don't want to believe in God. If they believe in God, God that created them, God that has a plan for their life, then they'd have to be accountable to that God. And they don't want to be accountable to anybody. So they say, I don't believe God. Because they want to live life their own way. God promises that if we acknowledge him, he will direct our ways. Now again, he won't send a cloud by day and a fire by night. Some people look for that. Say, well, I want God's guidance. I'm looking for that cloud by day and the fire by night. I want to tell you something. God's given us guidance in this book. In this book, he's told us how to live. In this book, he tells us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. In this book, he says, husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. Children, obey your parents. In this book, he tells us, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is. In this book, he says, you hide my word in your heart that you might not sin against me. In this book, he says to pray without ceasing. Look, God may on occasion send a cloud by day and a fire by night, but he's sure not going to do it to a people that don't follow the directions that he's already given in this book. If you're following the directions in this book, maybe he'll give you a special set of directions, a special call, but he sure won't if you're not doing what he's already said to do. Now, the same thing is true about our eternal destination. You see, God's will is that everybody go to heaven. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. And so let me ask you the question this morning as I close. Brother Gene spoke at the men's breakfast yesterday, Straya. I told Gary, and then I told him, he closed four times. He'd make a good preacher. We close. I'm only going to close once this morning. Here's my closing. Here's my question. Where are you going to go when you die? Where are you going to go when you die? And I know you may be here today and say, well, when I'm dead, I'm dead. Well, if that's what you believe, then you can forget what I say the next few minutes. But what if the Bible's right? What if you're wrong? What if when you're dead, you're not really dead? What if there's a part of you, like the Bible says, your soul, that's going to live forever? Where's it going to go? Where's it going to spend eternity? Now, if you say, I don't care, then the choice you make about Jesus doesn't matter. If you don't care where you end up for eternity, then the choice that you make today doesn't matter. But if where you end up does matter to you, and by the way, it should, because there's only two destinations. There is heaven, where God lives, that the Bible talks about. You know, there's a street of gold, pearly gates, where God lives. And then there's hell. Hell is a place of fire. It's not the figment of somebody's imagination. Hell is real. It's a place of fire. It's a place of darkness. It's a place of the bottomless pit. It's a place where the worm dieth not. It's a terrible, terrible place that God had prepared for Satan and all the angels that fell out of heaven that he will use to send people to that reject Jesus Christ. You got those two destinations. And where you end up, it will be determined not by accident, not by fate, not by circumstance, but by the choice that you make about Jesus Christ. You see, there's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, there's many ways to hell. All the other ways apart from Jesus is the way to hell. And so your decision this morning about Jesus will determine your future. Your decision this morning about Jesus will decide whether you end up in heaven or when you end up in hell. There's a lot of people say, well, I know some good ways to get to heaven if I live a good life, if I go to church, if I do good deeds. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, the Bible says. But they end up in death. They end up in hell. So again, where are you going to go when your body dies and that part of you that lives forever, what's your future? Where's it going to end up? Is it going to end up in heaven or in hell? Let me ask you a few more questions. I'm still closing once, Gene, not twice, just once. Are you a sinner? Let me help you answer that question. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death, separation from God, the Bible says. And there's nothing we could do to pay that debt. We're all sinners. We deserve to be separated from God. But here's the gospel. Here's the good news of the Bible. God loved us so much. He loved us as individuals. He loved us as a world that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He came into the world. He lived a perfect life for 33 some years. And then God allowed us, mankind, to take him and nail him to a cross. And as he hung on that cross, God put every one of my sins and every one of your sins on his Son, and Jesus Christ paid for our sins. All of them. All of them. And because he did, God is able to offer to every person a gift. A gift is something you don't pay for, but somebody else has to pay for. This gift Jesus paid for on Calvary. God is able to offer each one of us a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you receive that gift? Would you make the decision this morning to receive that gift? Your future for eternity is not determined. It's not determined by fate. It's not determined by accidents, not determined by coincidence or chance or anything else. It is determined by what you decide to do with Jesus Christ. Would you take the gift that he purchased for you on Calvary? In John, it says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." What's your choice going to be this morning? Will you trust Christ? Will you take the gift that God's given you? It's the only way to heaven. The only way. Your future is not determined by chance. It's determined by choice. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you that you brought us to this place. Thank you that you made it so clear in your word. And we have examples like Abram about how our future is not determined by chance, but it's determined by the choices that we make today. And Father, every single person in this room will make a choice today. They'll make a choice tomorrow. They'll make a choice the next day that will determine how their life is going to unfold from this point forward. It's our choices. Our choices. And I pray for the Christians that are in this room this morning. Father, help us to stay in the land of Canaan. Help us to stay where you put us. Yes, life may get tough at times, and circumstances and hardship may come into our life, but you can take care of us in the circumstances and the hardship a whole lot better than if we decide to do it our way and leave your will. And so I pray for the Christians that are here this morning. Most of us are Christians here this morning. Help us to stay where you put us. Help us to stay in the land of Canaan and not go run into Egypt. And then, Father, I pray for those that are here that don't know Christ, those that have never received the gift of salvation that Jesus purchased for them on Calvary. I pray you'd help them see their sin, the price of that, the penalty that's associated with that sin, the price that Jesus paid on Calvary to pay for it, and the gift that God offers to them today, and help them to make that decision to come to him. Their eternity, the destination of their eternity depends on it. Help them to come. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.